A helpful and challenging study that you can do is to look in the New Testament and look at some of the things that the Apostle Paul requested prayer for or things that we can pray for that can be challenging and help to us in our Christian lives. And sometimes maybe we pray, but if we can look at the Bible and say, you know, what did people in the Bible pray for? What kind of requests did they make? It can be something that can be helpful to our Christian lives. And today we're not going to be looking, in the New Testament, but we are going to be looking at, in the book of Psalms, at some prayer requests. And we're going to think about maybe why this would be a prayer request that would be helpful to us. Why would be something, a request that would be helpful to bring before the Lord. So tonight we're going to look at biblical prayer requests. That's the title of my message tonight. I know a lot of times I probably make it hard in the sound booth because I don't have a title for my message, but tonight I have the title for you, so hopefully it's easier for you. Biblical prayer requests. Let's go to Psalm number 43. Psalm 43 and verse 1. It says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." Boy, can you imagine tonight asking God to judge you? If you're asking God to judge your life, boy, that would be somebody that is committed to the Lord, isn't it? If you would pray that prayer request, "Judge me, O God. I'll plead my cause." Here is somebody that is dedicated here to the way of God if they're going to ask God to be their judge. You know, all of us someday are going to give an account before God. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand someday, and our works are going to be tried with fire. You know, is it going to be wood, hay, and stubble? Or is it going to be gold, silver, and precious stone? You know, what are we doing in the local church? How are we building upon that foundation? But I'd like us to focus in this verse. It says, "Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." Here is a prayer for deliverance. It says, "Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." You know, there are men out there, people of the world, that are seeking to destroy believers. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they sought to destroy his reputation, you know, saying that he was illegitimately born. And yet Christ was the only one that was born in such a way that there was not the transfer of a sin nature. And yet he was accused. You know, if they tried, you know, the Bible says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." You know, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if they tried to destroy his reputation, then what are they going to try to do to your reputation? Think of Joseph in the Old Testament. What did Potiphar's wife do to him? Sought to destroy his reputation. He was dealt unjustly. He was dealt with deceitfully. But yet he stood true. A prayer to deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You know, if you're living for God, if you're squarely on God's side, you know, this is a prayer that we can pray. This is a prayer that we're going to need to pray. Because the devil is out to destroy. The ungodly men of this world are out to destroy your reputation. Think of Jeremiah. What was he accused of? He was accused of falling away to the Chaldeans. He was accused of being a traitor. But yet, Jeremiah was what? The one man that was true to God in the nation of Israel. Think of what else the ungodly men may be trying to destroy. Think of your family. Now, as you think of, in the Word of God, how many godly families can you name from the Bible? You know, think of David's family. It was a mess, wasn't it? Think of Noah's family. Had some issues, didn't he? Jacob's family. There was a lot of issues, weren't there? You know, do you think the devil is out there? Do you think ungodly men are out there trying to destroy the family? Yes. You know, I just saw a news thing from the One News Now. It's like the American Family Association news outlet, I believe. And it was a book that was, it's just terrible what it was about. And it had a biblical title. Had a biblical title, but yet it was promoting a perverted lifestyle. And I believe it was a children's book with a biblical title. You know, the devil is out there seeking to destroy. And it says in, you know, one thing over in Psalm chapter 12 in verse number 1, the psalmist asks God, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." You know, in a day and age in which wickedness is getting greater, when the devil is out to destroy, we need God's help. We want to see our families turn out for God. It's not going to happen by our effort. We need God's help. We need to depend upon His way for raising our families. We need to look to Him for the deliverance that we need from the sin, from the wickedness, from the destruction that is out there. As our families, as our reputation, as people would seek to destroy it. So that we can be, to try to hinder us from having an effectiveness. Think of Daniel. You know, was Daniel doing wrong? No, but they sought to find occasion against him. They were out to destroy him. That's a prayer that we can pray, a prayer of deliverance. You know, but if we praying that prayer of deliverance, you know, why would we need to pray that prayer of deliverance? You know, if you're not out there fighting the battle, then do you think you're going to need to pray the prayer of deliverance? Help, Lord. Deliver me, O Lord. You're probably not going to need to pray that prayer as much, are you? But when you're in the battle, there's going to be a need to ask God for deliverance. And it's something that we can come to Him for. It's something we see in Scriptures. All right, also we see in the Psalm, notice verse number 3. It says, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." So here he requests for God's light. You know, why do you need light? Well, you need light when there's darkness, don't you? Are you, you know, what's one of the things you take on a camping trip? Well, a flashlight, or maybe now it would be a headlight. Why? Because there's darkness. And you need light to guide you in the darkness. We live in a world of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 talks, speaks of the ruler of the darkness of this world. You know, Satan is promoting darkness. It says in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to be what? We are to be the light of the world. Why are we to be the light of the world? Well, because we live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of sin. So the psalmist asks for God's light to lead him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the devil, how he's what? He's seeking to blind men. He wants to hinder them from seeing the light of Christ. So we live in a world of darkness. I think we would recognize that. And that is why we need the light to guide us. And here was a prayer. "O send out thy light." Do you want God's light to lead you? Obviously, you know, the Word of God is a what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Psalm 119, The psalmist prayed. He says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, a simple prayer that we can pray when we read the word of God. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Are we seeking for God's light to guide us? You know, if we're not going God's way, if we want to go our own direction, we're not going to want his guidance, are we? But we need it. We need it because we live in a world of darkness. You know, when you are in the dark, something can look good in the dark, but in the light, it can look much different. You know, when you're working on a landscape job and it starts to get dark out, you know, sometimes things can look better in the light when you're working than the next day or another, maybe you come back and look at the job. It's just harder to see things. And something can look better in the dark, but then the light comes and it exposes, you know, exactly what's happening. All right? And you need light. We live in a deceptive world. You know, Satan is a promoter of deception. He is seeking to deceive. He is a promoter of shortcuts. You know, you think of Matthew chapter 4, when the devil tempted Christ. What was he trying to do? He was trying to get the Lord Jesus Christ to take a shortcut. But that shortcut would what? Would obviously cause so much to change. And aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't take that shortcut that the devil was tempting him with? And that's why we need God's light. The devil is deceiving us. He's seeking to get us to take a shortcut. It might be a shortcut, you know, in your education. God wants you to shortcut in your education. You know, people are out there, maybe they want to get a quick online degree. And there could be some online programs that are good, but there could be others that maybe just want to give a quick online degree instead of getting the rigors of a good education. You know, the mega church movement is all about shortcuts. Let's take a shortcut to get a big crowd. Let's take a shortcut to true worship. Let's just have our whole service be a shortcut. You know, we live in a shortcut society. What does everyone want? I mean, you do it, I do it. We want to get the fastest lane possible. You know, here's the fast lane at the grocery store. And we like the shortcuts. I mean, I like taking shortcuts. But there are certain shortcuts that we need to avoid in life. And the devil's out there trying to get us to take a shortcut. And I wonder tonight, have you fallen for one of his shortcuts? You think of advertisements. They're all about what? Deception. Present certain, not all advertisements, but you think advertisements about sin. What are they about? They're about deception, deceiving people. And that's why we need God's light. We need to pray for his light to lead us. Otherwise, we will be deceived. Young person, have you taken one of those shortcuts that the devil has offered? I think of one thing that came to my mind was Kenya. You know, you get a traffic jam, what do? Use the side of the road. I think they even go on the oncoming traffic, don't they? And just, you know, expand this road. Let's just make this happen. All right, this is going to be faster. And they, anyways, you know, shortcuts. If there's other, many times probably over there it happens a lot, it happens with us. If other people are doing it, it must be okay. I mean, if one person does it and then two or three people doing it, now a bunch of people are doing it, so now it's okay. And you know what that happens in our spiritual lives? We see other people doing it, well, it must be okay, but we need to be praying that God's light would lead us. Lord, may your light lead me. There's deception, there's darkness. Why do we need God's light? We live in a world of derailment. Over in Psalm number 17 and verse number 5, the psalmist said, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Right? He didn't want his footsteps to be moved off the path. He wanted to stay on the pathway. This is a prayer that we need to pray. God, the devil wants our lives to be derailed. Apostle Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. His life was derailed. You think of John Mark. He started off with the Apostle Paul, and he started off with Barnabas, and then he was derailed. And obviously, the Apostle Paul thought that he should have stayed with them. But he left. You know, the devil's going to do something to try to derail us in our Christian lives. And we need to be praying. Lord, hold me up. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Do you want God's guidance? Do you want his light to lead you? Do we recognize our frailty? Do we recognize our ability to be influenced? That's why we need to be asking God to influence us. That's why we need to be asking God to hold us in his pathway. You know, that's a prayer of dependence, isn't it? Lord, if I trust myself, I'm going to fail. I'm going to get off the pathway. You know, how many believers' lives today would be different if they were truly seeking after God to keep them in the right path? So why do we need to pray for guidance? Well, we need to pray for guidance because we live in a world of darkness. We need to pray for guidance because we live in a world of deception. We live in a shortcut society. We think something's going to be better. It ends up being worse. How many of you have ever taken a shortcut driving? And afterwards, your family wished you would have taken a different route. I think it's happened to me before. You know, especially I remember, you know, I think it was one time up in Amish country, and you're wondering, oh, where's this road going to take me? And it took me a different, completely, wish I wouldn't have taken that road. And you can get way off track. You know, but in your mind, maybe you think it's a shortcut and it's going to help. But it doesn't, and it happens to us spiritually. And then why do we need to pray for God's guidance? Because we live in a world of derailment. The devil wants us to get us off. You know, God called you to do something with your life. Well, the devil is going to try to derail you. He wants to get you sidetracked on something else. We need to be praying that God would hold us up in his pathway. Another prayer request we see in the book of Psalms, let's go to Psalm 51. This is one maybe we'd be more familiar with. And this is the prayer for cleansing. The prayer for cleansing. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, how often have you done something wrong and maybe you just said, Lord, forgive me for that? But how is that different from this verse where he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity? He wanted all of it to be gone. He wanted to be completely clean, to be cleansed. You know, when we come before the Lord, do we have that desire? Do we have that request that we would be completely cleansed of that sin? Is there that true spirit of repentance in our heart that wants all of it to be gone? It requires honesty. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We see his humility, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He wasn't sitting here trying to defend himself. He had humility. Lord, you're justified. I have sinned against you. And no young person, adult, all of us, if we're going to have the right response, it takes humility. You know, but when we are seeking to justify ourselves and what we have done, you know, it's not humility. I'm sure if you're a parent tonight, you've probably dealt with your child justifying, you know, what he's done. And getting them to that point of humility where instead of when you correct them coming up with a reason for why they did what they did, simply taking your correction and learning from it. So we have here the prayer for cleansing. And there's other prayer requests that you could see in that prayer of cleansing in Psalm number 51. Let's go over to Psalm number 85. So we have a prayer of deliverance. We live in a wicked world. We live in a world of ungodly, of unjust men that would try to destroy Christians. There's a prayer of guidance. Send out thy light and thy truth. And we didn't talk about that. We live in a world of so much falsehood out there. We need God's truth to guide us. We need that guidance. We need God's cleansing. We need to be thoroughly cleansed from our sin. There's an honesty. There's a humility that is involved. Then Psalm number 85, I'd like us to see verse 4 and verse number 6. Verse number 4 says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Here we see the prayer of revival, this prayer of turning. Do we want our hearts to be turned to God? There's another psalm that has this mentions this turning. Turn us, and we shall be saved. You know, tonight, what direction are you going? Do you really want to go God's direction in your life? Are you willing to pray, "Lord, turn me. Take the direction of my life and make it your direction. And keep me on that pathway." You know, tonight as we go to prayer, as you pray personally, are you willing to ask God to turn you? Are you willing to ask God to truly revive your heart, that thy people may rejoice in thee? No, this isn't just some prayer, so to speak, that we've thought of. This is a prayer that we see exemplified in Scripture. You know, tonight, if every single one of us truly wanted God to turn us, what do you think would happen? Some amazing things, wouldn't there? Some amazing things in our personal lives. Some amazing things in our family. Some amazing things in this church would take place if we simply asked God, truly asked God, turn us. You know, just some simple requests tonight, and these are that we can pray. You know, each day, things that we can bring before the Lord. And there's, you know, in the Word of God, maybe it's something you could, you know, personally look up. You know, something that can be convicting is the church covenant. And it talks about in the church covenant, let's see here if I can find it. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer. And, you know, Paul talked about how he, you know, prayed for the believers. And to a reminder of, you know, praying for other believers is not just something we pull out of wherever. It's something that's in the Bible, an example that we can follow. And so tonight, if you can just take these simple requests and make them a part of your life and your prayers, think of what God could do spiritually in your life to protect you and to draw you closer to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, we do live in a day of much wickedness. And Lord, it's so easy to get sucked into the society around us and to get our eyes from off of You. And Lord, we need Your grace. We need Your mercy. Lord, we need Your guidance. Lord, we pray that we would be in Your Word and that You would take that Word and show us, Lord, Your will. Lord, we pray tonight that You would turn our hearts, that You would revive us. And Lord, that You would do that work in our hearts that You would desire to do. Lord, that thorough cleansing. And Lord, may You strengthen each parent that is here tonight. Lord, that they would be able to raise their children for You. In this world of deception, this world of darkness, Lord, we need You. And we pray that even as, Lord, we come before You, that we would depend upon You. Lord, if we're not seeking for Your guidance, if we're not seeking for Your help, if we're not seeking for these things, how can we really say that we're depending upon You? And Lord, we just pray that You would help us in these areas tonight. And may You strengthen us, Lord, that You truly would be honored and glorified through our lives and through this church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.